A true story about a church that wanted to do a kids' Christmas performance. But they kept having bad weather, and they were unable to have any rehearsals. And so the day of the rehearsal, or the day of the performance came, and they decided, let's just do it, but do it sort of impromptu. And so the teacher said, you know, why don't we just sort of, we'll read the story, we'll sort of narrate it, we'll provide some props, but then we will allow the children to just act it out as they will. And so they did this. So they assemble, you know, you've got the little girl who says, I'll be Mary, and the little boy who wants to be Joseph, and we'll be shepherds, and we'll be angels, and we'll be sheep. And there's one little girl, and she wasn't satisfied with any of those roles. So she says, how about if I'm the doctor who delivers the baby? So the teachers, they just go with it. It's like, you know what? We're just doing this thing. Like, sure, that's fine. So the play begins. The teachers are narrating it. And Joseph leads Mary. She's got like a pillow, you know, stuffed up her shirt so she looks pregnant. And they go to the inn where the mean innkeeper turns them away. And then it's time for the baby to be born. And so the doctor shows up. I'm here to deliver the baby. And she sort of takes the, you know, takes the little baby from under the shirt and she holds it up. And Joseph, he's caught up in the moment. He's playing the role well of new father. And he says, what is it, doc? And the little girl says, why, it's a god. But what strikes me about that is, like, man, she wasn't wrong. She knows her theology of the incarnation. The incarnation. No, that's not a flower you buy for 50 cents on Sweetest Day. It is God taking on human flesh. God sending his son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, the word became flesh. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And so, here's the good news for us today. No matter where you are, God is with you always. That's just what we're going to talk about today. So a Merry Christmas to you all. What a joy it is to be gathered this morning. I can just tell there are some people who are really excited today. Excited to worship God, excited to gather together, excited to celebrate that a Savior has been born. And so I'm thrilled to have you here with us, whether that's in person or joining us online. I want you to know we love you. Merry Christmas to you. Welcome. We're glad you're here. This is whether you call MCA home or whether you are a guest with us today. We pray that through our time together, your heart grows stronger and your faith grows deeper. So we have been in a sermon series, an Advent series called God with Us. I should say you've been because I've been joining from afar. And I do want to give a shout out this morning to our youth pastor, Jeremy Hostetler. Like, he filled in for me the last two Sundays when I was sick. Can we just thank Jeremy for his ministry? Jeremy, I appreciate you, and you did a great job, so thank you. When I called on you, you were ready to go, and you did a great job, so we appreciate you. I do want to say a thank you to all of you as well as my church family. Thank you for your prayers. As we battled COVID, thank you for all the ways you loved us and supported us, really kind of rallied around the Reisners during this time. I am healthy now. I'm 100%. And as I said, just excited to be back with you. My smell is still gone, hasn't restored. So changing stinky diapers doesn't bother me anymore. Thanks, COVID. But I'm out of quarantine. And glad to be back with you all. And you know, there's only one kind of joke you can tell during quarantine. Inside jokes. Every year at Christmas time, people celebrate. Around the globe, people celebrate. They celebrate the birth of Jesus. And again, this is what we've been studying together for these 3 weeks. This theological term called the incarnation. Isaiah prophesied about it. We heard this from Isaiah 9, verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Word became flesh. Baby Jesus, born in a manger, born in Bethlehem. And he grew up, he became a man. He talked with people and he walked with people and he sat with them and he ate with them and he laughed with them. He cried when they were hurting. He comforted them. Jesus, he fed people when they were hungry. He healed them when they were sick. He taught them when they needed truth. And when they needed rescued, he was the Savior. He offered his life to save them from their sins. So, open your Bibles. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We heard this just a moment ago. Jordan read it for us, but we're going to hear this again. This the Christmas story. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I don't know about you, but in my Bible, there's a footnote on verse 21 where we see the name of our Lord Jesus. And the footnote says, Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. So the angel says, give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save people from their sins. Now, only God can save. Only God can forgive sins. And so here's the good news, that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He always has been God. And Jesus has always existed. So let's not think that this is when Jesus was created. No, he has always existed. We know this from the Gospel of John in chapter 1, starting in the verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So this means that Jesus pre-existed before his birth. He has always been. Continuing on in John chapter 1, we see in verse 3 that through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus is God. Jesus has existed since the beginning of forever, has always existed, pre-existed his birth. And then Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You say, well, why would Jesus give up the glory of heaven and come to earth? There's one reason, my friends. There is one reason why Jesus would leave the glory of heaven and come into our feeble, meager, sinful, dark existence. And here's why. Because he loves us. Because he loves us. That's why Jesus came. Isn't that why you give gifts at Christmas time? Because you love the person? God gave the gift of Jesus because he loves us. I'm really excited this year, by the way, because I'm giving my kids a better not say. Maybe I'll tell you next week. We give gifts because we love someone. And so the reason Jesus came is because of God's great love. The incarnation shows the love of God. It's an act of love. We know John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus left his throne in heaven and came as a baby born on Christmas, took up residence on earth, born of a virgin. Why? Because he loves us. Because he is Emmanuel. He is God with us, to take care of us, no matter what we're going through. When our enemy attacks, he's with us. When COVID strikes, he's with us. When money is tight, he's with us. In the storm, as Jeremy taught us over the last few weeks, in the valley, he is with us. He is Emmanuel. God is with us always. There was once a grumpy old preacher. He was sort of an irritable guy, and he didn't like flying. So he had had a bad experience. He was on a flight one time, had turbulence. And so then whenever he got on an airplane, he was just real jumpy. He was real nervous. So he's on a flight one day, and the passenger next to him can't help but notice that he's pretty nervous. He's pretty jumpy. They had already learned that he was a preacher. And so the passenger, somewhat antagonistic, says to her, well, preacher, doesn't that Bible of yours say that God is with you always? The pastor, who's really not in the mood, says, no. No, that's not exactly what it says. I'll tell you exactly what it says. It says, lo, I am with you always. You know, low or high, my friends, God is with us. God is with us always. And so we don't have to be afraid. We have this promise from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The birth of Jesus means that we are no longer alone. We have a Savior. Can I get an amen? We have a Savior. And God has promised us a helper who will be a constant companion. So that we have a relationship with God. God promised us a helper, his Holy Spirit. And Jesus teaches us in John 14, 16, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter so that he may be with you forever. Did you catch that? So that he may be with you forever. God is with you always. He fills our lives with love and joy and peace, and those things you just can't keep to yourself.
This year for Christmas, what are you hoping to get?
A computer. Big, giant Barbie house.
A trophy case.
Xbox 360.
Minecraft Legos.
What do you think your mom or dad want for Christmas?
My mom would probably want a ring. She's never really had a ring.
Jewelry. She loves jewelry.
A new TV.
My watches.
So, we actually did buy an Xbox 360.
What in the world? What is this?
Okay, you really got this for me?
A new laptop.
Wow. And it's a necklace.
So we also bought a necklace because you said you also wanted to get a necklace for your mom or your auntie. The catch is that you can either get a gift for yourself,
huh?
Or you can pick a gift for your mom and dad. I need you to pick one. Now before you answer, oh, I bet that's hard. Is that a really hard question?
Mm-hmm.
What gift do you pick?
I choose this.
I gotta go with the ring.
What gift do you pick?
That one. That one. The dress.
I'll choose this for my mom.
I'll choose this one.
It's a really tough question.
I'll give him this.
You already know? Tell me why.
Because Legos don't matter. Lego, your family matters. Not Legos, not toys, your family. So, it's either family or Legos, and I choose family.
I get gifts every year from my family, and my mom don't get anything.
If I get a laptop, my mama loves something. She helps me when I'm sick. She helps me with my homework.
She gave me a house to live in.
They look out for me and do stuff for me, so I need to give back to them.
Now I have the opportunity to give them something.
Because you actually picked the gift for your family, you're actually going to go home with both. Tell me how you're feeling.
I'm feeling really happy and thankful.
Just happy. Thankful.
For your family? For what?
My family, everything.
He did make his decision, actually. And oh, he picked the Pandora Charms.
Oh, that is sweet. That made me cry.
So what are you going to do for me?
Angel.
Oh, it's for me?
Oh, it's for you.
Thanks, guys. You know, when God has impacted your life, you just can't help but bless others. So the coming of our Lord Jesus demonstrates God's love for us. And that's good news worth sharing, isn't it? That's good news worth spreading and sharing with others. So our celebration at Christmas, listen, my friends, it is a celebration of a God who doesn't necessarily make us immune to life's storms and difficulties, but it's a celebration of a God who walks with us through those storms and difficulties. Emmanuel, God with us, always. The advent of Jesus was God entering into our feeble existence in order to bring peace to a chaotic world, peace to our chaotic hearts. God reaching into our mess to save us. And he saves us from our loneliness. He saves us from our stress, from our addictions, from our burdens. He saves us from our sin. He helps us in our grief. He heals us when we're broken. That's the good news of Christmas. I want to share a story with you about the song that we sang a few moments ago, Silent Night, this beloved Christmas carol. Father Joseph Moore was a priest at the Church of St. Nicholas in Obendorf. That's an Austrian village near Salzburg. The church organist was a man named Franz Gruber. So it was Christmas Eve. And Gruber says, the church organ is broken. Like, how are we going to have a Christmas Eve, sorry, a midnight mass is what they were planning. How are we going to have that without the organ? The year, by the way, was 1818. So Moore tells Gruber, try again, fix that organ, we need the organ. He keeps trying and trying and trying to no avail. So to clear his mind, Father Moore bundles himself up and he goes out to make some pastoral visits. Gruber's left at the church. He's just sort of pacing, trying to figure out, what is it we're going to do? We've got this really important, you know, Christmas Eve, midnight mass. How are we going to have a service? We've got no organ. So Father Moore was called to a small cottage. It was the home of a poor family. And they were actually welcoming a new child into their family. So on that evening, a new baby had been born, earlier that day, I should say. A newborn baby had arrived. And so he found himself comparing that scene in this beautiful little village to the scene that had happened 2,000 years earlier when our Lord Jesus was born. And so as he walked home in the cold air, he wrote a poem. He was describing that night, and I should say the night that both infants were born, both where he was walking through that snowy alpine village, but also the night that our Lord was born. And so he wrote the poem. These familiar words. I think I could try to even say it in some of your native tongues. Stille Nacht. Heilige Nacht. He wrote, Silent Night. Holy night. All is calm, all is bright. So he decided he's not going to fuss over the organ anymore. They're going to have worship, and they're going to figure out some way to do it. So he goes back to the church. He pulls out a guitar, and he says to the musician, he says, use the guitar. Well, Gruber was not really very accustomed to playing the guitar. He knew three chords. So he gives them the poem, and he gives them a guitar, and he says, is there any way you could come up with music for it? So Gruber comes up with this very simple melody using just three chords on the guitar. And they say, well, it's very simple, and yet it is profound. And so that night, for midnight mass, they perform it as a duet for the very first time. And of course, we know today that it's one of the most beloved and classic Christmas carols of all time. It's been sung ever since. It's sung in over 300 languages around the world. And here's what strikes me about that. We might never have heard or sung the song Silent Night if it weren't for a broken organ. You see, God has the ability to take broken organs and make beautiful music. And life is full of broken organs, setbacks and disappointments, pain and grief, trouble. When we lose a job or have a miscarriage or have financial struggles or have strife in family relationships. But God can use them. God does use them. He takes those messy situations and he meets us right there. He meets us in our brokenness. And so through the advent of Jesus, we can be made right. We can be saved by grace, not of ourselves, but as a gift from God. No matter where you are, God is with you. Always. There's nothing we can do to make God love us less. There's nothing we can do to make God love us more. Romans 8:1 tells us, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So are you a broken organ? I know I am. Welcome to the club. Really, we all are. It's just some don't really want to admit it. And here is the great news of the gospel, that God, in his infinite grace, saw fit to rescue us through the birth and life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And once we are in Christ, we're no longer considered broken organs. But no, God calls us saints. Sons and daughters, co-heirs of the kingdom with Jesus. He calls us the righteousness of God in Christ. And so, we're thankful. Not because of our circumstances. Not because of 2020. We are thankful because Jesus walks with us through all of life's circumstances. When you're lost, he's your guide. When you're alone, he's with you as companion. When you're hurting, he's there as your comforter. When you're afraid, he's your peace. When you're sick, he's your healer. When you're weak, he's your strength. And when you are lost, my friends, he is your savior. He is Emmanuel. He is the God who came to be with us. No matter where you are never alone. God is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. God just didn't just shout the good news from heaven. No, he came to earth. He was willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice so we could know just how good he is. So that we could know his nearness and his presence in our lives. And so that we could then share with others this good news that we have found the truth. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. So I want to go to the Lord in prayer. And I know there are some of you who are in a difficult season right now. You're going through something hard. You recognize your need for the presence of God and God's help in your life. And so I would love to pray specifically for you for just a moment. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, if that's you today, I want you to lift up your hand. I want to pray specifically for you today. If that's you today, raise your hand. I want to pray a blessing over you. Pray God's help in your life. Pray God's comfort in your struggles. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for people who recognize their need for you. Lord, we need you. We need your goodness. We need your nearness. We need your presence. And so I pray, God, especially for those who are hurting right now. And I pray, God, that you would be present in a way that only you can. That you would bring peace, God, that goes beyond our ability to understand or explain. but that through it, God, you would guard our hearts and our minds and our souls in Christ Jesus. God, I pray for those who are desperate, for those who feel alone, for those who are afraid, for those who are facing financial stress or physical battles in sickness or otherwise. God, that by the power of your Spirit, you would reveal yourself. Because God, in your presence, we find hope. We find healing. We find forgiveness. We find grace. We find truth. We find a heavenly peace that goes beyond anything this world could offer. And so, God, we thank you that you are Emmanuel. You are the God who is with us always. And we celebrate today the birth of our Lord Jesus. And it's in his precious name we pray these things. Amen.